Welcome to CIUT, the Taylor Report, 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. In the second half of the show, we're going to be talking to Christopher Black, a Toronto lawyer. We're going to talk about the situation in Syria and the latest, I call it propaganda, around U.S. involvement there. Chris Black was interviewed in the Globe and Mail this past weekend. And we think he's a good man to go to on this subject. But starting off the show, we want to speak to Rob Roth, who has a new book. And we've spoken to Rob in the past. He's published several books of poetry. But this is something new and special. It's called Late Nights on Irish Mountain, a Gray Bruce storytelling collaboration. And it's with he collaborates with Larry Jensen. Rob, welcome to the show. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Phil. Although I guess we're on Zoom, so people don't realize we can see.
The pretty pictures. We're both so handsome that it's just going to be a heartache out there. Well, Rob, this is very special. We've talked to you on the Taylor Report in the past, and you've had several successful books of poetry. But you're doing something really special here. You're collaborating with a singer, songwriter, and poet, someone who I think he together with you, was a poet laureate of Owen Sound. How did this happen?
Well, when I moved up here about 9 years ago to Owen Sound from Toronto, about a year into my stay here, I went to here and then met a singer named Larry Jensen. And I'd been told to go check him out because I'd probably like him because of how he writes and what he sings about. And I got to meet him and we sort of hit it off. And then Larry suggested we do something together. We started doing that. And then we were encouraged to apply to become Poet Laureate of Owen Sound, a program that had been around for 6 years. Uh-huh. And we did. It was a challenge to the people who had to choose a new Poet Laureate to have two people applying for one job together. And what they did was change the title from Poet Laureate to Poets Laureate. And we became Poets Laureate of Owen Sound for 2 years, in 2015 to 2017.
Well, it's changed some the way you think about writing poetry, huh?
Well, in terms of this project, it changed what I do dramatically, because I was always a person writing poetry for someone to hold a book in their hand and read themselves. I did read them at launches because that's how poets, it's the only way we sell books, really. But when I started working with Larry, it became about performance. Mm-hmm. And in performance, I learned that there were different things you had to learn to do. Mm-hmm. than just to write for someone to read from. Yeah. This project came about as an evolution over that 2 year period plus. We did 40 performances in our 2 years. So we spent a lot of time in front of audiences. And I guess the last thing I'd say on that is, for me, as a poet who really, I wanted to reach a different kind of audience. Mostly poets end up reading to them, each other. Yeah. And Larry, he's a fixture in Owen Sound. He's been performing for 50 years. And he come from a working class background. And I call him the people's poet of Owen Sound, because
I'm glad that somebody remembers the concept of a people's poet.
Exactly.
Carl Sandburg, Milton Acorn.
Yeah, those are my heroes. So what it did for me was open up a whole new audience. People who wouldn't normally go to hear poetry went to hear Larry. And I got immediately an audience that I'd always wanted. And, you know, they say, you know, working people, they're not interested in poetry and stuff, but everyone's interested in it if it touches on their lives and they get a chance to see it in that context. And so that's what happened with me and Larry. But then through the performing, my writing changed because we were performing. We formed a group called Métissage to do local history, poetry, and stories about people who were left out of history. And it was all performance. And I discovered that there was a place for rhyme with audiences, as songwriters know this. Most songs rhyme. I didn't write rhyming poetry, but I started to do it for this purpose.
Well, I'll tell you, it's, we probably ought to give the listeners a taste of this. We'll play something now and we'll get you to comment on it after we've heard the song.
Sure.
Great granddaddy speak to me of West Virginia miners who fought the company, and I won't lay down my rifle, but I will lay down my life. I won't go down that old mine until we win the strike, and I won't go down. No, I won't go down. I won't go down, 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 down. Coal bosses, they gouged us. We miners held our ground. Sid Hatfield stood up for us. Gun thugs shot him down. On the ridge and in the holler, in the darkness of the night, the gun thugs will be waiting. But we'll be there to fight, and we won't go down. No, we won't go down. We won't go down, 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 down. Each man who give his life is but one man of many. Miners united have a chance. No miner alone has any. Way down in Holly Grove, high upon Blair Mountain, Union miners of long ago have never been forgotten. And they won't go down. No, they won't go down. They won't go down, 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 down. Many a night I can hear great granddaddy speak to me of West Virginia miners who fought the company. I won't lay down my rifle, but I will lay down my life. I won't go down that old mine until we win this strike. No, we won't go down. No, we won't go down. We won't go down, 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 down. No, we won't go down. No, we won't go down. We won't go down.
That was very nice music. We're talking with the poet, Rob Roth. And by the way, Rob, this is a beautiful looking book. And I noticed it's been illustrated by your partner, Patty Warfield. My congratulations. I think that adds something as well. I like the idea of this illustration, that there's sound, if possible, and it gives some power to it. Tell us about that. That was set in West Virginia. People should know. You, of course, have a trade union background and spent many a day on the picket line, so I'm sure your heart was in this. Tell us about that.
Well, it was definitely in it, and it touches on something that your listeners would know, but people around Owen Sound know, that there's a writer here named Andrew Armitage, and Andrew, he used to be the head librarian, and he wrote a whole slew of layman style history books about this area, collecting stories, telling stories. And he happens to be from West Virginia. And he was very encouraging to me when I came here. And this whole project, in a way, has been an attempt, at least for my part of it, to extend and remember the work Andrew's done in preserving the history here. But the West Virginia connection was that I have a connection to West Virginia too. It's an odd one. I grew up in southwestern Ontario, but Wheeling, West Virginia had a powerful radio station called WWVA. And I used to listen to it all the time, the West Virginia basketball games. And they had a show, Jamboree USA, which was like the Grand Ole Opry North. And I listened to that, and I always knew in my union career that West Virginia was important in the history of the labor movement in the United States. So Andrew gradually fed me all these history books on what known today as the mine wars in around 1920s and prior in West Virginia. So I took these books with me at Christmas one year. I was up in Ottawa at my daughter's. And I wrote a poem about it and corresponded with Andrew the whole time. Mm-hmm. And that poem is about what happened on Blair Mountain, the culmination of the coal miners' fight to unionize, 1921. American Army dropped, not Army, Air Force, actually dropped bombs on the miners. And it's a great heroic story in trade union history. Yeah, that's what that one's about.
Yeah, you know, it is. There's something resonates about the expression West Virginia. Of course, there is that song which everybody loved. Going back, John Denver. I forget how they phrasing, but it was beautiful. It worked as a folk song, although I think he wrote that himself. We're speaking, by the way, to Rob Roth, and he together with Larry Jensen had produced this book, Late Nights on Irish Mountain, a Gray Bruce storytelling collaboration with illustrations by Patty Warfield. Hey, Rob, where can you get this book, by the way?
It's available in Owen Sound through the Ginger Press. And if people want to order it online, It's a book and a CD. I think it's $35 for the two combined. And you can get it. You can Google Ginger Press, Owen Sound on Google, or go to www.gingerpress.com.
I'm gonna make sure that the proprietor of a different book list hears about this in Toronto on Bathurst Street.
Do that. They're my good friends. I'd love to have it there.
There is a writer's friend, and I know that they're gonna want to have the book in there. It is, you have done something really great here, Rob, in my opinion. You just settled in and then wandered around, as I read your account of this, listened to people. And of course, you found stories that even locals weren't quite aware of. I mean, you found labor tradition, for example, where they didn't think there was one. And can you tell us about that?
Well, one of my friends here, when I moved here, there was a writer in town. I'm not going to name him because of the story I'm going to tell. But he jokingly told me, I'd read his books. I really liked them. They were set here in the 1920s. But he jokingly, knowing that I had a union background, he wasn't a union person. He said, well, you know, they did have a big strike here back in 1909, Ellen, with the rail workers, but this isn't a union town. Meanwhile, I was wandering the shore here where I live, an area called Mudtown. It was a very poor area at the time, but it was lined with factories and railway tracks, ships. And I was seeing in my mind the ghosts of that period. But then I started to think about it a bit more. I thought, I'm going to go and explore a bit of the labor history, just see if he's right. And I found that all the old factories where I walk amongst the foundations, the factories are long gone. All of them had strikes back in the 40s and 50s. And so there was a labor history here for sure. This was an industrial town, but sort of like West Virginia, the industry is mostly dried up, gone. And we're dealing with the post-industrial area here. But that history, and this is what Larry and I were trying to do and what this project tries to do in a way, is try to revive what actually happened, the part that's left out. We know about the factory owners, but we don't know about the workers along the shore. There were Black workers, Métis workers, working class people all along this shore.
Yeah. Oh, we have your poem and we have the song performed by Larry Jensen. By the way, beautiful music. So we'll listen to that and then we'll talk some more to Rob Roth.
Okay, and that's the Uniontown song.
Yeah, it's a union song.
Faced with the wrath of the company talk, we made our stand on the east side dock. We flung back brick and refused to run, and we did not flinch at the loaded gun. Uniontown, 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 don't let the sun go down on the Uniontown. When the bosses saw that they could not win, had the trains get out and the ships come in, we made it clear that they'd have to bend. They had to pay more to the cargo men. Uniontown, 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 don't let the sun go down on the Uniontown. We were union tough on the east side shore, with higher pay than we had before. We built the boats and the iron stoves, factories hummed and the smokestacks rose. Uniontown, 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 don't let the sun go down on Uniontown. Up tools and we laid them down when the vote is striking as Uniontown. The factory floors we had the clout, But in the history books, they locked us out. Union Town, Union Town, Union Town. Don't let the sun go down on Union Town. Union Town, Union Town, Union Town. Don't let the sun go down on Union Town. Sun go down on Union Town.
And we're back with Rob Rolph. And the book is Late Nights on Irish Mountain, a Gray Bruce storytelling collaboration. And of course, it's by the book is also by Larry Jensen, who performs in the music, and illustrated by Patty Warfield. Rob, you'd been telling us about local history there. I noticed also you have and others, and I'm very impressed that the librarians are playing such a big role in Owen Sound. My hat goes off to the librarians all over the world. They always get good idea, good things going, collecting stories, making sure things are found, and even getting the authors to try their hand at various things. But there's some pretty sad stories that you and Larry Jensen have uncovered. Let's talk about this one that prompted the poem Blue Eyes. It struck me it had a lot of elements to it.
Yes, it does. What I did when I wrote the original version of it was there's an old ghost story from over Meaford Way, which is about 20 miles from Owen Sound on Irish Mountain. It used to be a farming community and back in the 1800s. And there's two stories about a girl named Blue Eyes. And I used one of them. It's the lesser known one about a young girl who was out wandering in the woods and apparently fell down a well and drowned in the well back in the 1800s. And the story is that her ghost revisits the area. So that was the Blue Eyes part of this poem. But another big event that occurred in that area on Irish Mountain in 1942, when the Canadian Army needed training grounds for the war effort in the Second World War, just as happened at Iperwash, the Army expropriated the land. All the farmers had to leave. They were told they'd be able to come back at some future date. That never happened. And so it has a bit of a sad history for many people in this area, farm people especially, who were evicted from their land. So I sort of combined the two after I read something on the internet about it's still a military base. We hear them explosions going off now and then from things that are detonated over there. And it was something about Blue Eyes that I was looking up, and it was a soldier who talked about his time late at night out on the range doing his patrols. And he said around 3-4 in the morning, got a bit eerie. And then he said, I heard his voice. And he knew the Blue Eyes story because people talk about it.
Uh-huh.
I think Blue Eyes come by. So I just put the two stories together to make this poem, which Larry's done beautifully, into a song with, I should say that with the music, there are other musicians. Tyler Beckett, fiddle player, he was nominated for Best Canadian Fiddler by the Canadian Country Music Association this past year, and well known in the area. There's some harmony singers and an accordionist on it. And today there's a big controversy on Irish Mountain because TC Energy, which I think is the Trans-Canada Pipeline people, want to establish a huge hydroelectric project there, pump water to the top of the mountain onto the military base to generate electricity for a wide area beyond this area. And there's been big community protests against it. Somebody found my or our song, and or I think it was the lyrics they found, and posted them up on their protest site. And of course it got a lot of likes because people are looking for support, but it's very significant history, that area. It's right on Georgian Bay.
Yeah. We're speaking to Rob Roth, and the book is Late Nights on Irish Mountain, a Grey Bruce storytelling collaboration. Quickly, Rob, I want to just mention, Owenstown was a temperance town, but you make the nice point in your notes that people, the temperance people, were progressive for the most part. I mean, we tend to laugh at them looking back, oh, they were for prohibition, but they were trying to save workers from destroying their lives with alcohol.
That's very true. It was all part of the, it was a movement really generated because this was a wide open port town with all the things that come with wide open port towns. It was one of the two or three busiest shipping towns in Canada back in the around 1900. Mm-hmm. And in the late 1800s, the movement was founded almost entirely by women. It used some church doctrine, progressive church doctrine called the social gospel. And it was part of the movement, it became part of the movement for women's right to vote.
Yeah.
So it has a double history. It did result in making Owenstown a big bootleggers town too.
Yeah. Well, we're speaking to Rob Roth, and the book is Late Nights on Irish Mountain. By the way, there's a nice, very good poem here. Of course, put the music. It's called Oxycontin Blues, and I congratulate you on that poem. I wish we had time to have you read it, but. It that feeds into that same idea of what happens to towns when the economy turns down and how it destroys families and young people. Rob, hey, thank you very much for being our guest. We're going to be closing out after a few words from you, and we're going to play Blue Eyes.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Phil. And I encourage people to visit the Ginger Press site. I have a new book coming out in September, I think, with the Ginger Press. And Larry has a book and CD with the Ginger Press. I have another book of poetry with the Ginger Press. So there's lots of interesting things. If you get interested in this project, maybe you'll look at those things too.
Well, thanks a lot. This is Phil Taylor for the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And we'll be back shortly with Christopher Black.
Late nights on Irish Mountain, up where the stars look on. Blue Eyes sometimes wanders, looking for her family fun. She died inside a hidden well, buried long before the government came looking for a place to train for war. Late nights on Irish Mountain, up where the stars look on. Blue Eyes sometimes looking for family farm. First came the idle promises, the whispers all around. They uprooted all the farmers, left pay upon the ground. Off to war the soldiers went, some did not come home. And the people on Irish Mountain lost the farms that they own. Late nights on Irish Mountain, up where the stars look on. blue eyes sometimes wanders, looking for a family farm. They battled every hardship until they had to leave. Farmsteads taken from them with little time to grieve. For some it was a bitter blow they never would recover, and some just backed up stoically, traded one farm for another. Late nights on Irish Mountain, up where the stars look on, blue eyes sometimes wanders, looking for a family farm. Said many a lonely soldier in the dark woods overnight, is drawn towards a deep well where blue eyes lost their light. All grievances die slowly, but be that as it may, for each of life's injustices someone has to pay. Late nights on Irish Mountain, up where the stars look on, blue eyes sometimes wanders, looking